Turn back with me to Psalm 87. Now, as you all know, the Bible defines itself. The precepts of the Scripture are built upon one another, precept upon precept, line upon line, and so on. And if we would know what the symbolism of the Bible is, we need to go to the Bible and find what the symbols mean. So, let's begin in this psalm, Psalm 87. It's a psalm or song for the sons of Korah. Now, Korah, as you know, was a bad man. He disputed with Moses, and the Lord opened up the earth and swallowed him down to hell along with all that he had. His whole family, his cattle, his tent, everything. He was an evil person. But this is for the sons of Korah. And it says, his foundation is in the holy mountains. Well, we might think, whose foundation? Well, it's the Lord's foundation. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. His foundation is in the holy mountains. Look at Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 1. And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of brass. Now, as you can suppose, mountains of brass would be very durable. They'd be eternal. And they represent the counsel, covenant of God. They represent the purpose of God, that which he willed from all eternity. Those are the mountains upon which the city of God is established. And especially in his decree, in his eternal decree of election. And his foundation is particularly the man, Christ Jesus. Isaiah 28:16. Let's turn there and look at that. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste or shall never be made ashamed. Now that is the foundation that this Zion is built upon. It is built upon the finished work of the man Christ Jesus, who is the elect of God, and all of his members are chosen in him. And they were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, according as he, that is God, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Therefore, all the inhabitants of this city of Zion, all of Zion, are holy and without blame before him in love. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. And let's begin. We'll back up to verse 20. And having made peace. Now, having made peace suggests that before there was enmity, and it was according to the justice of God, we owed a debt to the justice of God that had been unpaid until the Lord Jesus Christ actually came into this world. Virtually, it had been paid from all eternity when we were chosen in him and esteemed as one with him. But actually, it was paid, the debt was paid at Mount Calvary. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's the holy city, the holy Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that now is, and that we are the house of God. So this chief cornerstone, look at Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 22. And let's begin our reading in verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. The gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. That's our foundation stone, our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, the church of God, and that includes believers of all races, of all ages, of all kindreds, peoples, tongues, and nations, All who are given the most precious gift of faith are the living stones that make up this habitation of God, and it is built by upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the Spirit that uses the Word to bring these stones all together into the building. Believers of the true gospel, not believers of a false gospel, but believers of the gospel that is according to the doctrine of Christ, are the house and habitation of God, both collectively as we are assembled together today, and individually as He indwells each one of us personally. We are the habitation of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit dwell in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are complete in Him. We don't lack anything being in Christ Jesus. We're perfect in holiness, perfect in righteousness. We have God's own salvation. We are built upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we added nothing to any of this work that is done in us. Nothing of this is of ourselves. It's all of God. If we had anything to do with us, it would be marred. It would be fractured. It would not endure for everlasting. But in that we had nothing to do with it, in that God did it all, then it will endure as God Himself. And how do we know? Because He gave us an eye to see it, ear to hear it, a heart to understand it. Now, if y'all know anything about church folk, you know that they wouldn't last long here. They'd make one visit here and they'd be gone. They said, "Oh, I don't want to hear any more of that." that puts my free will out of business and makes my works all dung from a dung heap. Myself being the dung heap, that's what they'd say. So we don't fit this world. We're not of the world. All right, let's move on. His foundation, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is in the holy mountains. It's built upon the election of God in Christ Jesus according to the everlasting covenant of grace. Those are the eternal mountains, the strongholds of God. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Look at Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60, verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor desolation within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. The Lord loveth the praises of Zion, the collective public worship of the Lord. The Lord loves His public worship among His saints. Mm-hmm. Where the doctrine of Christ is faithfully preached and believed, and where the person's presence are submitted to the Word of God and love the Word of God and love God who gave the Word. The Lord loveth. Glory, let me see. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion, or the praises of Zion, the worship and ordinances that are officially and publicly held in his in the church. And that's all of the ordinances, the Lord's Supper and baptism, to show our allegiance to the doctrine that is preached by the church that we attend. To, that is our testimony, that we believe the doctrine that is presented and believed and worshipped and loved in that church. More than the dwellings of Jacob. Now, the dwellings of Jacob is in his private homes. So the Lord loves private worship, and he loves private and family worship, but public worship is preferred before private worship. Whether it be in our closet, enter into your closet. If when you pray, enter into your closet, and the Lord that sees in secret will reward you openly. He loves that, but he loves public worship. The public acknowledgement of him in his glory in salvation. Verse 3. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Selah. Glorious things are spoken of thee. As, look at John 14, 20. John 14, 20. These are the things, some of the things that's spoken of us. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is in God the Father. And ye in me, that holy church, according to its holy faith, is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in God the Father. In that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Amen. Now how do we take that? It's by faith. It's by faith. If we can see, hear, and understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it speaks to us, if we know that it's true, then that is a testimony of the Holy Spirit to us that we are of the elect of God. Yeah. Make your calling and election sure. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you make your calling sure? By making your election sure. And how do you do that? By making sure that you hear, see, and understand the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Look at 1 John 2. Or 2 John chapter 2. 2 John just got one chapter. It's verse 9. 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, that body of truth that presents the doctrine of Christ or the teachings of Christ. That's what doctrine is. It's teachings. The teachings of Christ. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Glorious things are spoken of you, that we are in Christ Jesus. We'll look at 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. For as the body is one, now the church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the head of the church. The head and the body make up that one perfect man. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body, whether ye be Jews or Gentiles, whether ye be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole body were hearing, if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Look at verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. That's a pretty glorious thing, and glorious things are spoken of the O city of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. You remember what we read in Psalm 118, the stone which the builders rejected, the same as made the head of the corner. Look at verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. That's Christ Jesus. Ye also, as living stones, lively stones or living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them that be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling. Now, to the Jews, the person of Christ was a stone of stumbling. He was poverty stricken. He wasn't a great political head. Didn't have an army. So his personage was a stone of stumbling to the Jews. But to the Gentiles, the doctrine of Christ is a stone of stumbling. Well, we don't believe that he chose some and didn't choose them all. That'd be unjust. That's what they say. So they stumble at the word, being disobedient whereunto they are appointed. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them that be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation. Now that's a glorious thing. Glorious things are chosen. Glorious things are said of thee, O city of God. God chose you before the foundation of the world. God ordained that you should be one in Christ Jesus, and so when he presented the gospel to you, all that were ordained to eternal life believed. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Our Father is the King of glory, and our elder brother is the Lord Jesus Christ, We are a royal priesthood. We have access to the throne of God at any moment of any day, any time. We are a holy nation. We're holy because we are in Him who is our holiness. Christ Jesus is our sanctification or our holiness. We're in Him. We are holy in Him. We have no holiness of our own, not in this flesh, but what we have in the Spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not what we are in ourselves. Because what we are in ourselves is sinners. It's what we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not what we are making ourselves. It's what God is making, has made in us. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a people of God's own. Those whom He loved from everlasting. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. of him, that He should show forth His praise, the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, darkness is not only ignorance, but it is a stubborn rebellion against the truth. And that is so natural to the heart of the natural man. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And it wouldn't, you could bring the unregenerate together and play the gospel in their ears from now to eternity, and it'd never make one dime's worth of difference in their heart. They still have a heart of stone. It takes the Spirit to apply the Word, to break up that hard and stony heart and give a heart that is capable of receiving the Word of the Lord. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Let me turn to Hebrews chapter 3. You can turn if you want to with me. Hebrews chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 6. But Christ as a son over His own house. Whose house are we? That's believers. If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Now that if we hold is not conditional, but it is evidential. Those who are true believers will absolutely hold fast. They will endure to the end. And you can read that in Psalm 87. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab. Now, that's not Rahab the harlot. That's Egypt. Turn over the page to Psalm 89:10. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arrows. And then turn to Isaiah 59:1. It gives the same thing, that this is speaking of Egypt. And he says, I'll make mention of Rahab and of Babylon to them that know me in the house of God. This is talking about the gathering in of the Gentiles. That out of Egypt and Babylon and Ethiopia and all of these other who were traditionally the enemies of Israel, of the people of God, they'll be gathered into this house, the house of the living God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia, this man was born there, or this. Leave out the man, because that was put in by the translators. It's in italics. Those who were born out of these lands. That's what it means. Was born there. Now, if you remember in Matthew 25, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. That's what this is talking about. The nations, judgment of the nations. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. Born again, born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And the Highest himself shall establish her. Now that's good news. Mm-hmm. Why do you believe? God gave you the ability and will to believe. And that's the only reason you believe. You don't believe because there's anything good in you, because you're just like me, as sorry as you can be. Every bone in your body, every molecule of you is evil. Ain't that an awful thing to say to you? But if you know yourself, you know it's true. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father know how to give his Holy Spirit unto them that ask of him? In our persons, we are and always will be evil. And that stems from being selfish. We're selfish. I want what's mine. And if I can get yours, I'll have it too. Well, maybe not out and out. But if I could sneak around so nobody knew it. And I'm not talking so much about me personally, but I am talking about humanity. And the Highest himself shall establish it. Now in Philippians chapter 3, I think it's down around verse 18. No, it's verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, Paul is saying there, I'm not come to that perfection that I will at the resurrection of the just. I'm perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ now in spirit. But in my person at the resurrection, in my new body, there'll be no presence of sin in me. I'll be delivered from any sin. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto you have already attained, let us walk in the same rule, let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. I still haven't got to what I wanted to get to there. Verse 12. I needed to back up one more. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. We are apprehended. We're brought. We are fetched. We are caught. We are apprehended of the Lord Jesus Christ. and the Highest himself shall establish her by apprehending all who belong to her and bringing them into the family. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, and he won't allow that any be missing. The Lord Jesus will say, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. And he said, Father, I have kept that which thou hast given me, and of all that thou hast given me, I have lost nothing. And then in John 6:39, and let's stop by and read. We might as well start reading 37. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Well, they were given in eternity past, and they are given in time at their apprehension of the Spirit. The Spirit reaches out and gathers them into the Lord Jesus Christ. He convicts them of sin. He lets them know that they're sinners, of righteousness that they do not have, and of the judgment to come, and that the only standing there will be in Christ Jesus. There's just one place that you can hide from God. But there is one place. And that's in God. In the Lord Jesus Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, not as a private individual, but as a public representative of his people. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that he hath given me I should lose nothing, but raiseth it up again at the last day, when the Lord shall count them up. Take a census. Are all the children here? And this is the will of him that sent me, that of everyone that seeth the Son with an eye that is given and believeth on him with a heart that's given understanding may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. You won't find anything there. No man can come to me. Now what does that say about our free will? That it is non-existent. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Just as sure as the Holy Spirit apprehends us and brings us to Christ, we will be, and we're given faith to believe, eyes to see, ears to hear, heart to understand, we certainly shall be raised up at the last day. And that's at the resurrection of the just. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. That is the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there in Zion, in the church. Mm-hmm. He's born again. As will the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. All our springs of joy, all our springs of comfort, all our springs of grace, all our springs of faith, all of our springs of the blessings that we have are in Christ Jesus. He is the spring of all our blessing. And our fruit is from Him. So, call yourself the city of God. That's the word of the Lord. Look at Revelation chapter 21. And as Brother Jerry gave you something you might read, Revelation 21 throughout, but particularly 10 through 27. Revelation 21. We'll begin our reading at verse 9. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full. Which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, "Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Now that's who we are.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he carried me away in the spirit into a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like unto a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And the names written thereon were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east, 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Well, we're thankful to be brought together to worship and to bow down, and so glad that He's our God. We'll say He is our God, and He shall say, "It is my people." Amen.